Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take
it out. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
And the Toronto Raptors will win for the second time with trailing after three. And the Warriors with a disaster of a loss on the road. And now will have to beat a very good Minnesota team to try to split the four-game win-chill road trip. Raptors 104, Warriors 101. Golden State falls to below 500, 19-20 on the season. And get ready for Minnesota.
Oh, baby. We're going to have ourselves a show. No doubt about that. Baldy's going to join us at 7:30. We got Dalton Johnson later on in the program as well. Good morning to everybody out there. As you hear Tim Roy on the call for 95.7 The Game, the flagship of the Golden State Warriors, as they lose to the Toronto Raptors north of the border, a Toronto Raptors team. Not only did they lose to the Raptors by 3, 104 to 101, they lost to a team that had lost 16 of 17. That's right, the Raptors have lost 16 of 17. They were currently on the five-game losing streak. They didn't have Emmanuel Quickley. They don't have any identity whatsoever. It's RJ Barrett, it's Scotty Barnes, who I do like. I like Scotty Barnes a lot. Jakob Poeltl, every Warrior fan on Twitter's favorite center. But this is the reality. The Warriors are now 19-20. First time all season they've been under 500. They're out of the box. If the play-in started today, they would be out.
It's unacceptable!
And you're looking at Stephen Curry go 26-7-7, and Wiggins got his 20. But outside of that, no ball movement, 23 team assists. They got dominated in the paint by 24, 50-26. And this is the reality, Warrior fans. That last night was rock bottom. And there's no more sugarcoating what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. They have to make a decision at some point over the next few weeks before the trade deadline, February 6th. Are you going to make some moves? Are you going to stand pat and wait for the summer? Are you going to shake this thing up? Because right now, they're not a good basketball team. They're just not. They're one of the worst teams in the league since December 1st, Shasky. That's just it. Ever since starting 12-3, they've been atrocious.
I'm waving a piece of paper, and it's going to be the metaphor of my white flag. I'm waving the white flag as a fan.
As a fan?
Here's what I mean. Not that I'm like leaving the Warrior fan base. I can't watch that.
I'm out.
I can't. And your point about they got a decision. No, it's make a decision. I'm over it. Either we're going to tank and we're just going to sell off our pieces and we're going in on like whatever, Cooper Flagg or whoever the hell it is in the draft that they think they're going to get. Like, I'm dead serious. Or it's just make a reckless move and just do something. You can't keep doing what you're doing. This is very analogous to when you have that vehicle and you take it to the auto body shop and the guy says to you, you know, the mechanic, hey, look, you got one of two things. You can either invest in this car that's probably worth like $3,000 or $4,000 and put a couple grand into it and maybe you get a year or two out of it, or you just chop the thing up and you go take it to the dealership and you try to get whatever you can get and you go get a new car. Like, that's where we're at right now with the Warriors. The engine's shot, the transmission's shot, the chassis's okay, all right, but the body stinks and nobody wants to drive it. And right now, the two people at the top, Goober and Lacob, and primarily Lacob, you've told me forever this is an entertainment product. Last night I saw that loss coming from a mile away. And when you become predictably boring and you lose in the consistent fashion with which they lose, squandering leads, you know, praying to God Steph Curry can hit a shot over three people late in the game all by himself, and you're just letting randos like Like Boucher destroy
well,
you?
Boucher's been balling.
No, I know he has, Monte.
17 in the fourth
how
quarter.
How many NBA players? Right. Just how many NBA players do I have to name before the name right. Boucher comes?
Hey, Chris Boucher, 17 of his 18 in the fourth quarter. He's been on a heater. That was a revenge
fantastic.
Game for him.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. But, like, honestly, last night was the night that broke me. And so I don't even know what I want to do. Like, I can make 1,000 arguments to just tank.
Well, let's
I can
ask.
Make 1,000 arguments to just, you know what? Trade freaking Draymond Green for Jimmy Butler and let's just, and whatever their combinations, that's, and let's just ride the Jimmy Butler crazy
nah,
train.
Let's not do
no,
that.
I'm, no,
let's
I'm dead serious. That. Make let's a decision. Do something. You can't do keep doing this. I can't keep watching Moses Moody and take calls from people on Moses Moody, who's not very good, and like, oh, why doesn't he play an extra 3 minutes? He's not good enough. This is not good enough. Enough.
What, who was the caller last week who came at me, called me a liar and this and that and said Moses Moody needs to start? Well, he played 14 minutes yesterday. He went out for 6. But this isn't about Moses Moody. This is about
watchability,
the team building, and the roster construction. And right now, look, I understand it. It wouldn't be much better with Paul George on a max deal. I don't believe it would be much better with Lauri Markkanen. So you're in this situation right now with the Warriors where you're not good enough to contend, but you're not good enough to take. So you're stuck in the middle ground of the NBA, which is not a good place to be. You don't want to be a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed in the NBA year in and year out. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to be able to get better. You're not going to be able to gain a lottery pick. You're not going to be able to get an impact player. And your cap is going to be hard cap. You're going to have a hard cap here to where you can't maneuver and make big-time moves. So Dunleavy and Joe Lacob with Steph Curry will play the Steph Curry sound. Dunleavy's on the phone left and right trying to figure out what to do with this roster. And at some point, you're going to have to come to some hard decisions with this roster. The old way of playing with split action and everything, that still works here and there. But the read and react system with these group of players, it may not even be work. But here's the problem. You're slow and you're small. That is the worst combination in the NBA. And you're a little older. Your two best players are older, Draymond Green and Stephen Curry. You're small. And you're slow. So you don't. So even on a night when you play the Toronto Raptors, and you look at the roster, wow, RJ Barrett may have a matchup advantage. Wow, Scottie Barnes has a matchup advantage. Wow, Jakob Poeltl, you know, against TJD, that's a tough matchup for TJD. Every game, every roster has an advantage over the Warriors because they're more athletic, they're longer, they have bigger size, and right now, you're missing Jonathan Kuminga in a major, major way. So, as Brock Purdy's watching Sam Darnold throw up himself in the playoff game yesterday down at Glendale, Arizona, Brock Purdy has to throw the snap and he's making more money by the day, right? Well, Jonathan Kuminga sitting back with an ankle injury saying, boy, we sure $30 million is the price point? What about $40 million a year? Because on this team, I think I'm worth a little more than what you guys all think. And that's a problem right now with the Golden State Warriors. So I want to get into a deep conversation about the Warriors and how they got to this point. Because last night, Shasky, was rock bottom for me. That was rock bottom, I think, for everybody. I'm watching that game thinking, okay, they're up 86-77, and the Raptors close the gap right away. And I'm thinking, they cannot lose this game.
Yes, they can.
They cannot lose.
Yes, they can.
Well, no,
you've watched every game this year. You've watched every game this year with a more fine-tooth comb than anyone else who's listening
right
now.
No, I know they can lose this game.
I saw that coming a mile away. A mile away. When Boucher hit the first teardrop three in the fourth quarter, like, I mean, it was Tim Hardaway was impressed with the amount of arc Boucher had on his on his three-point shot. I saw that coming a mile away.
No, Spadoni asked me last week, you think they're going to lose Miami in a back end of a back-to-back? I said, what? Are you kidding me? I know what this team is. They're a 500 inconsistent basketball team. They're mid, as Stephen Curry says. So, yes, I could see the loss coming a lot mile away, but when you're in it in the fourth quarter, it's like, wait a minute. Are you really going to lose to the Toronto Raptors, who've got 8 wins on the season? Now, 7 of them came at Scotiabank Arena, which is their home court up in Toronto. But when you're watching, you're like, you're going to lose to Chris Boucher? Bonte. Chris Boucher scored 17 in the fourth.
This team's not smart. Like, I thought Kyle Anderson was a smart player. He made a play last night, and I don't mean to just pick on him. He fouls Scottie Barnes thinking they have a foul to give. They don't. He goes to the free throw line. They split the free throws. They give up the offensive rebound.
And two more free throws. That was the end of the third quarter. They were up seven. They gave up four points at the end of the third quarter.
It was a microcosm of all my frustrations.
Not finishing quarters.
I don't care how much IQ they all claim to have. They're not a good team.
No, they're not a good team.
They don't do smart stuff. They don't execute. They can't close out. They're not athletic. Like, what do they do well other than squander leads?
So the end of the third quarter, they give up the 4 points, which is a big swing going into the fourth quarter because they're up seven, and they give up the 4 points, and you're like, that's free money that may come back to bite you in the butt.
It's just so
and
bad.
It came back to bite them in the butt. So what do they do well right now? There's not a lot of things they do well right now. There's just not, and it is the reality. Again, the Warriors, after starting the season 12-3, they were 12-3, and we're all high. Yeah. We're sitting top of the world. They're 7-17 since that point. They're 7-17 after a 12-3 start. So this is who they are, a 7-17 team. They can't stay healthy. They've got a revolving door starting line. They started 22 different starting lineups, all right? 22 different starting lineups. Folks, they've played 39 games. 22 different starting lineups, and they played 39 games. Now, I'm the king of, hey, doesn't matter who starts, it's who finishes, right? But at some point, you got to figure you got to have some stability with the first five to get off the great starts, right? Right? So they don't, and now your bench is depleted. You get outscored on the bench 41-32. You shoot 39% from the floor. You shoot 35 from three. Half of your shots came from the three-point line because you can't blow by anybody when it comes to dribble drive penetration. Everything is around the perimeter. And so you make the move for Dennis Schroeder, and the ball is sticking in his hands. It's like CP3 all over again.
Monte. I'm leaning, and I keep coming back to this. And I know people don't want to hear this. You don't do that with a Steph Curry team. You might have to. I think you might have to just start selling off all your pieces and just go full tank mode. I'm dead serious. They need to gut everything. Okay, you want to keep Kuminga? Fine. I would trade everything else. Wiggins might can be had. Someone would take him. I don't know if Draymond's tradable. Dennis Schroeder, I bet you somebody wants him. Like, I would start selling things off. Like, if you had to choose who to. I also wouldn't be mad if they just decided, you know what? We're all in on Zion. We're going to roll the dice. I know it's a huge risk. I don't really trust it either. But, hey, we're going to try. Like, anything, make a decision. Anything is better than what I'm, like, doing currently because this is insanity.
Yahoo came out with an article, Vincent Goodwill, yesterday, and it came out before the game. And it was about the Golden State Warriors and their future. And Vincent opens his story up, and we're going to take calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. Golden State Warriors have gone from a team on a hot streak to a middling one, struggling to find the right formula to get back in the mix of the Western Conference contenders. Around the league, many are wondering if the team's front office and ownership have the stomach to make the necessary personnel moves to surround four-time champions Steph and Dre with a realistic shot at a fifth title. Somewhat surprisingly, Green is in lockstep with the way the Warriors have handled things. Despite overtures to the likes of Paul George over the summer, they stayed the course as opposed to going all in on any strategy. Green said, "The beautiful part about being in the space that we're in, Steve, Steph, and myself all disagree with mortgaging off the future of this organization, saying that we're going for it now," Green told Yahoo last Thursday. "Bad teams do that. Bad organizations do that. We're not neither one. However, I would say bad organizations stand pat. We just saw the San Francisco Giants hold on for dear life to their legends, to their legends, to their legends. And now here we are with Buster Posey and our fourth place NL West team. The league has evolved so much with terms of the style of play, having five threats offensively at all times, having two-way players who could do both things offensively and defensively, and not having specialists, and are getting longer and quicker. The Warriors are neither. So standing pat, if you want to stand pat through the trade deadline, that's fine. But what's going to happen in the summer? And can you sell that to the fan base? Can you sell that to the fan base? So I want to ask the Roasters, I think it's about them today and Dub Nation out there, what do you want to see this team do moving forward? Because last night was rock bottom. There's no doubt about that. 888-957-9570. Last night was absolute rock bottom.
Look,
so now what?
Like, now what is this? And like, you said goodbye to Klay Thompson for a variety of reasons. One of them was that you said you had to turn the page. And to me, like, you only turned half the page.
Yeah.
If you were going to turn the page, you turn the page off Draymond as well. Right? It's not an either or. To me, it's both. Like, they both needed, and I'm not even blaming them. I'm just saying, like, organizationally, they've been so slow to pivot. And to your point about the Giants, yeah, it feels like I'm watching the end of the Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford kind of stuff, where, yeah, every now and then they have a great series, you know, they have a great game or a great moment or whatever. But, like, You're not winning with a 37-year-old shortstop playing up the middle. You're not winning with a guy who can't stay healthy for more than 65 games in Brandon Belt, right? No, and it's the same thing that's what's going on right now with the Warriors. Like, all right, you wanted to move off of Clay, and he needed to go, and there's a variety of reasons. Fine, but you guys made a trade for Jordan Poole and CP3, and then you kept Draymond when Draymond was the reason that Jordan Poole went into the tank. They've made so many poor decisions, but to me, it starts with, if you were going to pull the Band-Aid, you pulled the Band-Aid off of both Dre and Clay, and his conversation with Yahoo or whoever the hell he was talking to actually drives me nuts. First part, dude, just play games. Stop talking about the future of the team, all right? That's for the ownership and the GM. I want you to just play, all right? I want you to play. Second thing, this is why all the youngsters have felt alienated forever. Because me, Steve, and Steph, and I get it, they've earned equity. Me, Steve, and Steph, we get veto power and we do things. You can have that. You can't say it out loud. Now you're creating a schism in that locker room and just... For everyone's psyche, it's us, and then there's you guys.
Well, like, that's how
this
that's
is a microcosm of why they needed to rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, it probably the punch changed everything. I hate going back to that incident because things have just not been the same since that moment. I'm telling you, the vibes at media day. I'm walking around thinking this team's about to go back to back. After hearing from Ron Adams, and remember Ron Adams
bench was good enough to be a team in the playoffs.
Dude, Ron Adams,
I feel like an idiot.
Ron Adams called us the day after they won the championship, saying, "Quite frankly, I think we're ahead of schedule." And I'm thinking to myself, "Damn!" And I remember Jordan Poole vibes, and Wiseman was back, and Kuminga feeling himself, and Dre was feeling good. And that incident, it just hasn't been the same since that point. And you lost the young guy. In Jordan Poole, who's in Washington, they've only won 6 games, or 6-31, but he's having career highs and everything, and it seems like he's getting his swagger back, and he didn't want to leave. And now when you look, you're saying, damn, you're small and slow. You have no explosion. You have nobody who can dribble, drive, penetrate, or blow by their guy. Well, Jordan Poole could. Jordan Poole could. So you had a tough decision there that offseason, but you decided to pivot off Jordan Poole because Jordan Poole and Draymond probably couldn't coexist in the same locker room. However, giving Draymond the $100 million to play nice, and then he gets suspended for 17 games the next season. And meanwhile, all the rhetoric towards Klay Thompson after not accepting the 2-year, $48 million deal, it was like, wait, what? What is going on here?
It's one domino after another. But Bonte, I think I want to make this very clear, and I think you agree with me. Jordan Poole's a good player. No one thinks he's some first ballot Hall of Famer that's going to change the trajectory of your team and you go from being an 11 seed to the 2 seed, right? No one thinks that. It's a microcosm of how relationships and dynamics have been had in that locker room, in this organization forever. It's not about Jordan Poole, the player. It's more about what it represents and how just I'm up here. I can do no wrong. You're down there and you're the reason why we stink and I will accept no culpability. That is the metaphor that just slaps me in the face when I view all that from 5,000 feet away.
Well, it's Warrior fans. I want to hear from them. 888-957-9570. We're going to get to everybody on the other side. Coach of Vallejo, Chris at San Jose, Mo down in Miami. What would you like to see the Warriors do now? They're 19-20. They're under 500 for the first time all season. Another crazy stat is Andrew Wiggins has never won in the city of Toronto as an opponent. He's never gone back home and won a game. He's 0-5 when going back to the city of Toronto.
I just didn't care about that at all.
I know you don't care about it.
I know,
it,
and I'm not trying to be a jerk.
There. Well, no, I'm just putting the stats out there.
I know.
No, trying to have some fun.
I know, laugh but Wiggs, like,
it's not the end of the world.
Wiggs,
it's not the end of the world. This is where the big boys step up. This is where the big fans step up. It's adversity right now. We're dealing with it. With all these teams around these parts, whether it's the Niners, the Warriors, or the Giants. Got to buck up, baby. It's time to roll your sleeves up. By the way, I got some important news on the other side. Shout out to those watching on YouTube, goodness. Brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. I can't wait to ask Baldy about Sam Darnold and whether or not the Niners should still go after Sam Darnold. Niner fans, all the Sam Darnold fans, I would love to hear from you as well. I haven't forgotten about you guys. That's all coming up. Brought to you by MB Jesse Painting.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
You're the this situation right now with the Warriors where you're not good enough to contend, but you're not good enough to take. You're stuck in the middle ground of the NBA, which is not a good place to be. You don't want to be a 7, 8, 9 team in the NBA. Here I am, stuck
in the middle. Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. Des Moines Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
It's crazy. Shaz goes, I love this song. And I said, is this the one from Reservoir Dogs? And it is when your boy's chopping off the ear of the cop. Classic scene. Love Reservoir Dogs. Shout out Quentin Tarantino for that great film. As you're listening to the Morning Roast, and Warriors lose to the Toronto Raptors without Draymond Green. He's missed two straight games.
I love this song. I'm sorry.
You hit that spin move.
I think of my dad now that we're playing this song. This is like my pops all over right here. Him God, dancing. What a great pull.
That was a great pull. Love it. Great.
I can't find the tongue.
Oh, I miss you, Dad.
Oh, man. Well, he would miss crazy. He would miss watching his team, that's for sure. But he would miss the 95-70 game knockout tournament. But if you watch it from above, as the 95-70 game knockout tournament is back with a chance to shoot some hoops on the floor at Chase Center, we will qualify people starting Monday, January 27th. It go for 3 weeks, so you will have plenty of chances to win. Again, January 27th, a couple Mondays from now, you will be able to qualify. So listen to the 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, starting Monday, January 27th, for your chance. And each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks. And you have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. Let's get to the calls, Jask. We've got some lines here. I know a lot of Dub Nation want to talk about the team as they lose to the Raptors yesterday, a team that had lost 16 of its prior 17 games.
I can't wait to hear from the audience. My biggest issue with the current Warriors, and I felt this way about the Giants for so long, and to a lesser degree, over many years ago, the Niners too. Stop trying to replicate the past. You need to be looking into the future. You need to be setting yourself up to what the next evolution and the next wave is. And all the teams in any sport that are at the top have their eye on the future, not trying to go back into the past. And I feel like they're stuck looking back into the past on too many things.
Well, see, I think they were stuck trying to look to the future. And then they got stuck saying, well, maybe the future isn't ready. And they didn't fully commit to the future.
That's the biggest issue,
is that the commitment to Jonathan Kuminga hasn't really happened. Although I would say not only last season, but the season prior when Wiggins missed 2 months due to personal issues, Kuminga was starting to ascend. People tend to forget that Kuminga was starting to show flashes. It just rolled with him. Like, I was thinking about this deep last night on the way home. The Anthony Lamb, Ty Jerome season, where you lost in the second round to the L.A. Lakers.
And we
all fought thinking, Kuminga can't play over these guys? Now, they made, and I get it, Steve Kerr's position, up top, you're getting pressure to win. Win at a high level. We still think we're a championship team. You haven't lost in the Western Conference playoffs yet under Steve Kerr. I get all that. But you imagine if you just roll with Kuminga, let him play through the mistakes, and just see. So by year four, he's a made man. And right now, people still don't know if he's a made man or not. I think you and I are in lockstep when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga. We think there's a future here for him. The guy can do things that nobody else can do on his team, and we've seen the flashes from December 1st on, averaging over 21-6. But he did this last season. So, like, I'm not surprised that Kuminga was coming on this season doing what he was doing. We witnessed it last season. You have to win in different ways. You have to evolve with the times. You have to play different styles here. And the problem that's bothered me recently is, I get it, you trade for Dennis Schroeder, who's been on 8 different teams, but you were willing to tweak your style for Dennis Schroeder when it seems like there's been a reluctance to tweak your style for Jonathan Kuminga.
Because
and that doesn't sit well with me.
I know, because he's a veteran. Like, again, it's always felt, and to me, I think that this, to a small degree, does fall on Curry, but, you know, just the overall sentiment that we're up here, and our resumes are this, and y'all aren't there yet. And I'm a veteran, and I have equity in the organization and whatever, and that's just, I'm sorry, that's not a culture that's conducive for others to come in and contribute.
No, not at all. Not at all. Let's go to Coach Vallejo. Coach, what's happening? Then we'll get to Chris. Got Bo. We got Skills. We got everybody here.
Anthony,
what up, Coach?
Hey, good morning, and thank you for playing Steelers Wheels, stuck in the middle with you from the 1970s. That brings me back to my Pepperdine University days. you know, I'll play. Start off with saying, I told you so. A couple of weeks ago, and Bonte, you and I think alike. A couple of weeks ago, I said Kuminga was as important to this team, this Warrior team, as Steph Curry. And every game Kuminga sits out with his injury, the price tag goes up, okay? Because, I mean, Kuminga is that elite athlete. And they were playing their best with Wiggins and Kuminga in the lineup at the same time. Now, also, too, Shasky, if you're not, I'm with you. If you're not going to be good, at least be exciting, okay? They're not even exciting anymore to watch. Okay, they're a very slow, boring, unathletic team. You know, people like to talk IQ, basketball IQ. Well, I mean, that's what the coach is, okay? I mean, they're playing basketball out there. And Bonte, you're right. The game is above the rim. These guys are tall, long, fast, athletic. And even, you know, I'm not a Jordan Poole fan. Oh, but the Jordan Poole player is in vogue right now, okay? Mm-hmm. They miss that. I miss that, and I'm not even a Poole fan, but I miss that. They need that type of player. They have another one, but they let him go, and Lester Kionis, okay? Kionis was one of those guys. He's still out there. He's a free agent. He's in the G League right now. Go get him, okay? And last thing I want to say, Spencer, okay? This kid is fast. He's athletic. Yeah. He penetrates. He scored 17 points the other night, and he can't get off the bench right now? That's ridiculous. You know what? It all boils down to Steve Kerr. Kerr is stuck in a time warp. He needs to get off his high horse and start getting some athletes and let the athletes play.
Good call, Coach. Look, the reality is in the NBA, you can't be small, you can't be slow, you can't be old. And we're watching it change the guard right in front of our eyes in the Western Conference. As everybody begged for Kevin Durant this past summer, the Phoenix Suns are stuck in the box. They're no more than a 7-8 seed right now. The Phoenix Suns, that is. And they have a Bradley Beal issue. And they're, but the torch is being passed. Look at the L.A. Lakers last night playing the San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio has Victor Wembanyama, an old Chris Paul, Devin Vassell, Steven Castle, who I like out of UConn, who scored 23 last night. But the Spurs outscored the Lakers by 24 in the fourth quarter to win that game by 24. What is going on? The Lakers are old. They're older. LeBron James is your oldest player. Yeah, he's great. He's still getting his numbers, but it's not translating to wins. This is a young man's league, and you got to lean to the youngsters, and you got to play through the mistakes. You got to be able to live through the mistakes. That's how they're going to get better. I've been, especially in the NBA. The NBA is not the league to bench young players because they sit, they sit, they become uninterested, they start finding other interests, they don't work on their game in today's day and age, and then they get lost into the abyss. This is a young man's game where you got to like, look at San Antonio right now. All those youngsters, whether it's Keldon Johnson, the young man from Kentucky, Zach Collins, they've got a bunch of youngsters who are able to play through mistakes, and now you're reaping the rewards where they're all of a sudden surging in the Western Conference in the ninth spot. All of a sudden, they're thinking, oh, man, we can make the play-in and maybe make some noise and build for the future. This is a young man's league, folks.
But the coach has to be committed to playing them through mistakes, and he wasn't willing to do so. And, you know, like when you have a, what I call an individual development program, an IDP, in any company, you'll see these, right? Or in any sports program, you'll see these. Tech, they have them anywhere, really. You develop a plan for someone, and then you have to stay committed to the plan. And there's got to be small little goals, and then there's got to be tolerance from management to accept that there's going to be failures. Bonte, this team is so bad at all the little things. I'm begging for more Guy Santos minutes.
He's playing
because
well.
He actually cares and has heart and is diving on the floor and is giving me an element that a lot of the other guys aren't. And I'm not here to say that Guy Santos is somebody that needs to play 40 minutes a game. No, that's all. But I'm saying that's how down bad they are.
Yeah. With all that said, Matt and Hagan, you're right. They are only three games out of the loss column for the sixth spot. But right now, they don't look like a top six team. The Sacramento Kings looks so much better than the Warriors. It's not even funny. They won seven straight.
You know, let's go to Chris and San Jose. Last month, they ended up losing all those games. Yep. Were they not a different team by the time they got to the playoffs?
No doubt about that.
It feels like the Warriors are a completely different team than whatever the heck we saw in that first month.
Well, they are. They're 7-7. They're 7-17 since the 12-3 start.
If they keep this together the way it is,
hold on.
This is going right into the lottery.
As we get to Chris and San Jose, can we check in on Law Murray's latest power rankings? What tier are the Warriors in now? I'm very interested to hear about that. Well, let's get to Chris in San Jose real quick before the break. Chris, what's up, baby?
Hey, baby. Morning, guys. Yeah, you hit on a couple of points that I was telling the screener. It's funny, you know, Jonathan Kuminga doesn't have to play right now, and he's making more money. I mean, he doesn't even have to hit the floor, and he's making more money right now with what he was doing before and now our, you know, continued skid. You know, I was also looking at the record, 12-3 start. You hit it, 7-17. Shafty, you're right. That's a lottery team. That's a bottom 10 team in the NBA. I said it last week. I've been saying it for a couple of years. In order to succeed in the NBA, you need size, athleticism, and you need shot makers who can spread the floor. Right now, the Warriors possess none of those in spades. Absolutely none of those. So if you want to go around, you know, go around the league, look at Houston. I'm going to bounce around here a little bit. Look at Houston. Houston let their guys play. They have their young Jabari Smith, Jalen Green, let their guys play. They are now the 2 seed. Orlando let their young guys play. They're the 4 seed in the East. The Knicks, you know, and another point. You look at if Steph Curry and Draymond Green, let's just say those are our two best players, and you want to go around the league and look at the other two best players on any other team. The Knicks got Brunson and Towns. I'd take Jalen Green and Jabari Smith. I would, you know, Nikola Jokic is still a MVP in his prime. You got Giannis and Lillard. You got all these guys. I mean, I would help. I'm not even like trying to make a joke. I would take Victor Wembanyama and Chris Paul over Draymond Green and Steph Curry right now. All right, we just lost to a 9. Well, they were 8-31 before they beat us. and you know, maybe Draymond Green swings that the other way and we win by 3 points. But is that really something to, like, you know, clap and, like, cheer about?
No, it would have been a game where even if they won, we would have felt sour about it. We would have. It just was not an impressive game for the Golden State Warriors. And it's unfortunate. 23 team assists. They get outscored in the paint 50-26. It's just their free throws. They're the worst free throw shooting team in the league. A team with Stephen Curry on it is the worst free throw shooting team in the entire NBA.
Yeah, but okay. Like, I hear you. I'm not surprised, though. Who, outside of Steph, who shoots free throws well? Not Wiggins, not Kuminga, not Draymond. I mean, Kyle Anderson? Yeah, when I think of shooting form, I think of Kyle Anderson. I mean,
dead last, Shasky. Dead last with Steph Curry shooting over 90% on their team.
There's not one guy.
That's still fascinating. You got to admit that's fascinating. The Golden State Warriors with the Stephen Curry-led team is dead last at free throw shooting. That's nothing to scoff at. That is terrible.
Trace Jackson Davis is the most proficient misser of layups in the league. What makes me think he's going to be a good free throw shooter?
I'm just saying, they're dead last. That's fascinating to me that a Steph Curry-led team is dead last at free throw shooting. That's the whole point. All right, more coming up. We're going to get to everybody. Mo down in Miami. Hang tight. Skills of layout. Want to hear from you. Some potential trades here. 888-957-9570. We got Baldy coming up at 7:30. We got Dalton Johnson, NBC Sports at 9:20 to talk about the Dubs. We'll get to Sam Darnold at some point, probably after this next break here. After the next break, no, we'll sneak on Warriors, and then we'll get to Sam Darnold and what you think about him, Niner fans, because I want to hear from Uncle Gene and many, many others who told me that Darnold was the play. Do you still believe that Darnold is the play at quarterback for the 49ers? One good night for the Darnold fans. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Just didn't get good looks, you know, didn't execute very well, weren't disciplined enough, and that's my fault. I'm the coach of the team. I have to find a way to help this team, and I'm not doing a good job of that. Down the stretch, we're not executing, but that's happening throughout the game at both ends. You know, missed rotations, missed coverages on defense, and then poor possessions offensively. It's on me.
Up Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those breaks, Monte.
All right, Steve, I'm trying. The segment is brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Steve Kerr there talking about the state of the team. Their offense is ranked 21st, and they went silent last night down in the fourth quarter. The 21st ranked offense. Their defense is top 10. Their offense is 21st in the league.
It's top 10.
You got to get buckets. You got to get buckets, folks. It proves you got to get buckets. Who the hell knows what this team is going to do? Are they going to stab Pat? Are they going to take a wild stab at it? Let's get Mo in Miami on real quick. He's been on hold. I want to get your thoughts about this team. We'll segue to Sam Darnold talk at some point over the next 30 minutes here. Mo in Miami, what's happening?
Hey, Monte. Good morning, you guys. Hey, Shasky.
Morning.
Yeah, so I feel like the struggles with this team really lies within the lineups that we're putting out right now. So I also, whenever you face this, you know, just to put in the context that we are depleted, so we don't have Jonathan Kuminga right now. Clearly, we didn't have Draymond Green. We don't have GP2. So we are depleted. So at this point, we're losing. We might as well exhaust all our resources, right? We've gotten a chance to see what Guy Santos looks like. We've gotten a chance to see what Pat Spencer looks like. And to piggyback off of what Coach was saying earlier, Pat Spencer can penetrate the paint, I feel like, better than most of our guards on our team, like aka Dennis Schroeder, because he just takes too long to get to the paint. But that being said, also, Steve Kerr, he's having issues right now not having a five. Like, we need a real five out there. Trayce Jackson-Davis, he plays the five, but to me, he's more like a true four. So the matchup disadvantages starts with the lineups that Steve Kerr is putting out, in my opinion. So we should see what Quinton Post looks like. He wasn't able to play last night because he was in Santa Cruz dropping 30 on 4-for-9 three-point shooting. So we need to see what our resources look like before we go into trades and all of that. Seeing what Quinton Post looks like might even give us a chance to think about Nikola Vucevic. We would get to see what Nikola Vucevic might look like before we pull the trigger on our pieces for trades like that.
We're going to see Vuk next week, that's for sure. In the back-to-back, the Warriors will have a back-to-back with the Bulls involved, the Sacramento Kings and the Chicago Bulls. They'll go up to Sacramento and then come back down and play the Bulls at Chase Center. So you'll see Vuk next week, but I'm not sure Vuk is the answer that's going to get to. I guess my question for the Dub Nation is, what are your realistic expectations for the rest of the year? Is it to trade off assets? Is it to trade for guys like Jimmy Butler or Zion Williamson? What are the expectations now that they're 9-20, they're in 11th place, they haven't been under 500 all season long? Yeah, sure, they're three games out of loss column to the Dallas Mavericks and the LA Clippers and the LA Lakers, but don't forget, they've lost to the Clippers three times. They lost to the Lakers once. They've lost to the Mavericks once. What are your realistic expectations now for the rest of the season? Or do you have any? I guess that's the next question.
My expectations are simple. Make a decision. Like, now. Figure out either...
What if they have and just say, well, you know what? We're going to stand pat and ride us out until the summer.
Well, if that's the decision, they're going to lose a lot of the fan base for the rest of the couple months. Will they come back? Of course they will. You know how it is. It's very cyclical. But you're depreciating your product right now. And I have a hard time thinking that it's fair to this. And look, we've been spoiled. I want to say that on the front end. But when you do charge championship prices at every level, like, and I get it's a business, you cannot be doing what they're doing right now. I think you do kind of owe it to yourself and to the consumer to pick a direction. Pick a direction of the franchise. Bonte, I'm just going to ask you, I'm just going to go right down the list. Steph Curry, a good player. Is he a good player?
Yes.
That is desired by other people?
Yes.
Okay. Curry's one. All right. What about Andrew Wiggins?
I think he's desired by some other guys. Another team could use another wing defender.
What about Draymond?
I'm not sure about Draymond. I'm not sure what other team looks at Draymond because it comes more with just to play. Team may be weary about some of the on-court actions.
Okay.
Not sure.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think he's a guy that you would have to staple stuff to be able to move. Like, that's the way I view him right now. Kuminga.
Yes.
I agree. Kuminga's good. Okay. What about Guy Santos?
He's a G leaguer.
Okay.
So,
GP2.
You know, I'm meager with GP2.
Yeah,
I don't know if he is, but I think guard depth who could defend at a full court level. Now, the problem with GP2 is he can't stay healthy, so I'm not sure how desirable he is. If you wanted to trade him, you probably have to staple him to something. That's just my opinion.
I put GP2, Moody, Buddy Hield, Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, Looney, Schroeder. TJD, all into the same bucket of, yeah, I'd balance him out in a trade because I got to balance out money. But, like, no one's kicking down your door having to have any of those guys. You basically got, like, 2.5 guys that people
want. I think somebody would want Schroeder at the deadline. Somebody would want a backup point guard, Dennis Schroeder, this isn't his style of play. As a backup point guard.
He's a starting player.
Yeah,
which is indicative of how poor the roster is currently and how they got to do something.
No doubt. Buddy Hield. What happened to Buddy Hield? Since the 1st of December, Buddy Hield has averaged 9.5 points a game, 3 rebounds, 1.5 assists, He shot 30.5% from the three-point line since December 1st. 30.5%. He shot 36% from the floor since December 1st. When I look at Klay Thompson last season, this is last season, Klay Thompson, as much rhetoric as Klay Thompson received, and I get the money and the price point, what you pay for Buddy is different than what you pay for Klay. But Klay at his worst month last season was in November when he shot 35%. Every other month, 40, 39.5, 40, 35, 30, 40, 43. Those are Klay's shooting percentages. He never shot below 35% from the three-point line at all last season. And you would have thought he was shooting 20% with the way people were talking about Klay Thompson. Buddy Hield is in a he's on a struggle bus. And again, I always mention, like, why is this guy bouncing around? Why didn't this team like him? And why does there's your answer, folks. He's inconsistent right now.
Bonte, what you said are just facts, and you kind of pushed aside the money. Fine, that's fine.
I didn't push
that. I don't think either player, like right now, I don't think Klay Thompson's changing much for where the Warriors are at. To me, the Klay movement was more of like, oh, okay, now we're ushering in a new era where we're going to try new things and be bold, and we're not going to try to chase the old. We're trying to, you know, get with the times. And I think they need to continue to try to get with the times, and I would continue to move. I don't think Klay makes them that much better.
It doesn't make them better, but it looks differently. The spacing that he provided, I think, was underrated. It was very underrated. Teams are not leaving Klay Thompson open. They are on the Dallas Mavericks because you have Kyrie and Luka. But on this team, they're not leaving him open, which opens up the floor for a guy like Steph Curry. And right now, there is no spacing because nobody else can knock down the shot outside of Steph Curry.
I think they're very similar in the similar spot. But I think the bigger point is that whether it's Buddy, Schroeder, Moody, whatever, you've expected someone to kind of jump forward with all of these opportunities, none of them have.
I just remember the first couple of weeks, everybody was calling down saying, we got Buddy Buckets, who's so much better than Klay. And I'm saying, wait a minute here. Nobody fears Buddy Hield. Nobody fears him. He's getting wide open looks. So anyway, Draymond Green spoke to Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports, and the article came out yesterday. And Green had this to say about the Warriors' outlook, because obviously they went after Paul George in the summer. They went after Larry Marketing of the Utah Jazz. And Draymond Green said this: the beautiful part about being in the space that we're in is Steve, Steph, and myself all disagree with mortgaging off the future of this organization, saying that we're going for it right now. He said that following a win over Detroit. Bad teams do that. Bad organizations do that. We're not either one. We're not neither one. That's what Draymond Green said. Well, what are the Warriors right now? Are they a bad team? Is this a good organization with a bad basketball team with their hands? Is this a team that should mortgage the future? And who is the future? Who is part of the future? Is Kuminga really part of the future plans? Because a lot of fans I talk to want Kuminga gone. Kuminga hasn't played in a week and a half. So what is the future of this team? And are they a bad organization? Let's go to Skills and Vallejo. Skills, what's up?
Greetings, howdy, and yo, Bonte and Chasky. And let me preface this by saying, Chasky, I'm not calling to come down your road, but about 6 weeks ago I called in, and I'm pretty sure you don't remember this now, but I called in. I was hesitant to get behind the Golden State Warriors because they had started 9-2, and you know, I was still kind of skeptical because I've seen them start hot before and cool off and end up being terrible. And you advised me, I'm just saying this again, not coming down your road, and you advised me that just dive in with both feet. This team is real. Well, as it turns out, they were real frauds. And they were hot for one more week. As I recall, they were hot for one more week after that. And then they showed me and everyone else in the Bay Area why I was reluctant to dive in with both feet in that hot tub. Because except for Philadelphia, they've been mostly off. The game against the Sixers, the 34-point victory, as you mentioned earlier, 7-17 after that hot start.
Yep.
And you guys were talking about the low points of the season. So the low points of the losing streak. Let's see, the 51-point loss to Memphis. That's one of them. There was the blowout in Sacramento. There was a blowout by Cleveland. They lost 5 in a row around Thanksgiving. They allowed Dallas to score, 143 points, I think it was.
Yep.
They lost by 16 to the Heat without Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 24 games, they scored 100 points in 10 of them, less than 100 points in 10 of them. And they've fallen way down in points per game which would be even worse if they were, you know, if they hadn't started so hot, scoring 120 points every night to start the season. So I don't know definitively. I mean, you guys, you know, I don't know definitively what I think the low point is, but losing to that Raptors team last night,
yep,
down 16 of 17 games, and the one win was against the garbage Brooklyn Nets of Cam Thomas.
Yep.
That's a strong contender for number one, in my opinion. Now, to solve that problem, and I'll let you go with this, I don't want Butler to come to the Golden State Warriors for a variety of reasons. It's too long for me to list right now. I'll let you go for now. It's a call for another day. Peace out.
All right, Skills. This quote Steve Kerr gave to Anthony Slater, who we'll talk to Anthony Slater tomorrow live in Minnesota. Anthony Slater, of course, our 95-7 game insider, NBA insider for The Athletic. Steve Kerr told Slater this. That's the hard part in addressing all of this stuff. We're not giving in. But you have to be realistic organizationally about where you are. And you have to mind what's coming ahead in the future. I probably won't be around. But I would tell you, if this organization gave away the next 6 or 7 drafts for a wild swing, that would be the most irresponsible thing that they could do. That is Steve Kerr. Now, a couple key points there. He's got a year left on his deal. A lot of coaches don't like to go into the final year of their deal and coach a basketball team. They usually want an extension. But Steve Kerr dropping a, I probably won't be around, is alarming to me. He's admitting that maybe he won't be here for the next 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. But he also admits that trying to make a wild swing for a guy, say, Jimmy Butler or Vuk, for all these picks would be a disaster. And I do agree with him on that. I think, although this is going to drive fans crazy, and this is coming out of my mouth, and no, I don't work for the Warriors, I work for 95-7 The Game in NBC. I think the best move for them, seeing what's happening right now, is maybe to wait until the summer where you may have more options to move some guys. And maybe there's some more options to get better players. Because right now, I don't see yourself getting better before February 6th with what's out there on the table.
If you're weighing all the things, I'm telling you, and we're talking about the health and the lifeline for this team, the best way in the NBA to get really good really quick, 9 times out of 10 is tanking.
Yep.
And I know people don't want to hear that, and it's not sexy or whatever. I would sell off Wiggins. I'd sell off Draymond. I'd sell off Schroeder. And I would just go, I got Kuminga, I got Curry, and I got a bunch of picks. And that's kind of been the template for Houston. That's been the template for OKC, you know, to get to this point. And obviously you got to hit those picks.
How would fans deal with that?
Well, at least there's a direction. At least I know what your business model is.
Is right that now, the direction fans want to go in?
Well, what's their business model currently? Yeah. If I were to sell, what do you think they're selling me as the business model?
Well, they're selling you probably Stephen Curry. The last years of Stephen Curry.
So how is tanking? Stephen Curry. How is tanking I'm less appealing?
I'm asking you.
Well, the
fans.
Answer's simple. Like I'm trying to find the next great stud so that, you know, in 2 years or 3 years can take that mantle from Steph Curry alongside
of
Dejounte.
So you would accept tanking?
If I'm presented with all the options, it's probably the most realistic for the team being good again. Like, I mean really good.
I'm just asking a question. And yeah. I want to know if Dub Nation feels the same way as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's go to Jay in Oakland.
Before you go to him, can't we agree the worst place to be in this NBA, given where everything is in the middle?
No, it's been like that for years. Not in today's NBA, not in yesterday's NBA, not in the future NBA. It's in the NBA in general. You never want to be a middling team. You're like the Atlanta Hawks being a 7 seed every single year, and it's like, okay, you're making the first round of the playoffs, and you may win a game. That's not good enough.
But it's not just that. It's also the restrictions of the current CBA being where your finances are.
I'm just saying, in general, NBA, when you add in the cap, but in general, whether the cap, the new CBA, the old CBA, yesteryear's CBA, being in the middle of the pack in the NBA is no man's land.
And that's where they're at.
Right.
And that's where they're at. And I'm just saying, like, look, we all like Wiggins. No one's saying it's his fault. It's just, it's cyclical. Sports are cyclical. And now they're cycled out. And they just need to acknowledge it. And the worst place to be is chasing bad money. And I feel like any of these trades that they make, and again, I'm here for them. Like, even a Zion trade feels like, you know, it's a fake hustle. But you know what? At least this is a direction. Hey, we're trying to hand this guy the mantle.
So I asked Warrior fans, is that what you want to do? Is that what you want to do? Tank the rest of the season? 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Jay in Oakland. Jay, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up,
hey,
baby?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, this message is for Draymond. Hey, Draymond, look around, buddy.
You guys are a bad team. Mm-hmm. And you've been a bad team for the past 3 years. Like one can say that you guys have sucked for the past 3 years. And you know what? I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and act like I have all of the answers, but I'm tired of excuses. When Jordan Poole was here, they blamed the lack of chemistry from the punch for the reason why they sucked. Last year, they blamed the Draymond suspension for the reason they sucked. This year, they're blaming lack of confidence for the reason they sucked. You know what the crazy part is? 39 games into the season, last year's team actually had a better record than this year's team.
Mm-hmm.
And Draymond missed 20 of those games.
Mm.
So it looks like we're going backwards, if you know what I'm saying? And I agree with Joe. There's no sense of direction. There's really no clear direction with this team.
But
so,
I mean,
Go ahead, Jay.
No, you go finish.
No, I was going to say, you asked, what should we do? What do Warriors fans do? I want us to stop pretending
exactly
that we are the team of our glory years. That's well behind us. And we got to make moves that's directly, strictly to the future. And if that means mass sales, everyone has to go. But, like, muddling around in the 10th seed, the 11th seed, the 12th seed, like, what is that?
Yeah, it's not compelling, it's not entertaining, and it's not winning. It's all of the worst things to be. And the other part, like, and look, I hear you on, you waited out until the summer. They were told at the deadline last year when they had the expiring CP3 contract and the expiring Klay Thompson, well, we're just going to wait till the offseason. And then the offseason came around, and then we're going to wait to see if we can work out this trade exception with CP3. And then maybe we'll do this. And then we're going to wait on the Lauri Markkanen thing. And then we waited. Oh, well, Lauri didn't work out. Well, we'll wait till the regular season, and maybe at the trade deadline there'll be a disgruntled star. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting, well, and the options get less and less enticing.
But your options may become better because the guys that you want to trade have less years on their contract, which may become more attractive to other teams, to where they're saying, okay, we don't have to take on $75 million. Maybe we're only taking on $50 million, and maybe we're taking on $25
million. Well, right now, if you trade the middle of the season, Bonte, you're prorating the salary.
Right, you're prorating the salary. But I'm saying in the summertime, teams may say, you know what? We only have to deal with this maybe for half a season, maybe for a season.
But then anything you trade them for, you don't get to – like, get that pick right away.
You don't get
right?
the pick
you're
right
waiting.
Away. You're,
if you
don't
get if you traded the deadline now, teams are a little more desperate.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a top 10 pick.
I'm not saying top 10 pick. This team needs...
You're going to get a lower first round pick.
Like,
they need players.
75 second round picks.
They need players.
Yeah, they need players.
They need good players. That's what they need. They need good players.
I don't think Draymond's value is skyrocketing once we hit the offseason.
Yeah,
or
but you may,
Andrew Wiggins.
You may have more willing takers in the summertime for these deals, if a team knows that. Right now, you may not have any takers. Middle of the season, you want to bring in, say, an Andrew Wiggins or a Draymond Green in this hypothetical, and say, all right, let's bring them in for half a season. Now they got to acclimate to the new system. Now they got to figure out their roles for the new system. And a team that's chasing something may not want to deal with that over the last 3 months of the season, getting ready for a playoffs. So I'm just presenting the other side. You wait till the summertime, you may have more takers with teams because they say, okay, these deals have less years on them, so you may have more options in terms of how many teams you can deal with, as opposed to February 6th, where your teams that you could deal with could be limited. That's what I'm saying here with Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins and some of these assets.
But you also have to look at your pick, right? And I'm looking at my pick right now. And if we stay where we're at, we're going to be drafting like 11, 12, 13. It's hard to find those difference makers. If you choose a direction, you know, and it happens to be in the tank mode, you could be in the lottery. And of all the drafts to be in the lottery, this is the year.
Well, but you look at high up. The Washington Wizards have 6 wins.
No question.
The Charlotte Hornets have 8 wins. The Toronto Raptors have 9 wins. The Brooklyn Nets have 13 wins. All right. The New Orleans Pelicans have 8 wins. The Jazz have 10 wins. The Portland Trailblazers have 13 wins. They're already at 19.
Yeah, but
they're already at 19.
I don't see this team ripping off 25 wins right over the next couple of months. I mean, we have to be realistic. And so, like, no one's it's still a lottery anyway. So even if you finish with the worst record, the Warriors win one game this year, there's still not a 100% chance you get the number one.
Exactly.
Pick. But Bonte, it is a top heavy draft, and last year wasn't, and the year before, this year feels like one of those drafts. Like if there is a year to go in, this seems to be a more enticing one.
All right, more coming up, brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.